Hey y'all, you want to know a secret? We all live the same life. Well, sort of. Sit down with us as we discuss various topics regarding being married millennials, where your spouse is both your best friend and your pain in the, well, you know.
Welcome to another episode of the Married to Millennials podcast. I'm Tuck.
I'm Mishi.
What's up, baby?
Hello.
Hey.
Hi.
I have.
Oh, you're already laughing, so this is going to be stupid.
No, it's not stupid. I'm a very inquisitive person, so I just want to know. I got a question for you.
What's the question? Get it out.
So, not saying that I don't, or that I have a problem with it.
Okay, just spit it out.
But I want to know, why do I have to put the toilet seat back down? I want to know an answer. I don't have a problem doing it. I just want to know why I need to.
Well, first of all.
Okay.
First of all.
Uh-huh.
Nobody wants to fall in a toilet.
Okay.
In the middle of the night.
Okay.
Okay. I have to actually sit down. You get to stand up.
All right.
I have to sit down.
Mm-hmm.
I do not want to fall and plunge into some water.
Okay.
That's number one.
Mm-hmm.
Number two.
Number two.
Oh, you're a child.
Go ahead. I'm
sorry. You're a child.
Go ahead.
Number two.
All right.
You and Caden do not have the best aim.
Okay.
So while the toilet seat's up and you're peeing,
mm-hmm.
It's probably not hitting the toilet bowl all the time.
Okay.
So by letting it down, you should be also looking to see if you made a mess.
I got you. Well, for me, I typically pull it up first.
You pull what up?
Pull the toilet seat up. Because here's the thing. If the toilet seat was already down, I wouldn't have to put it down. So when I pull it up, it's the fact that sometimes I forget to pull it back down. So I pull it up.
Okay. You telling me I'm supposed to lift it up when I'm done?
I mean, that would be nice.
Okay, so you don't poop?
I mean, I do, but not a lot more than I pee, though. That's what I'm saying.
If walls could talk.
Okay.
I am pretty regular. You stay in there.
I am pretty regular.
You stay
but,
in there.
But no,
seat is always warm.
I'm just saying, like, majority of the time, I guess I see what you're saying, but majority of the time I'm going in to pee, and I'm going in like, oh, the toilet seat's down. I'm not going to be like,
you don't even think about that. You just pick it up and you pee.
Yeah, exactly.
Because it doesn't affect you.
Yeah, okay.
It doesn't affect you.
Yeah.
Now, if I go in there in the middle of the night and it's dark and I sit down and I splash in water, everybody in the house is waking up.
Okay, so question for you. Why aren't you looking before you sit down? Like, even in a situation where you're sitting at a table, you're aware that the chair's there first, right?
Yes.
You don't just plop down, so... It should be like a split second where you go, oh, toilet seat's not up. Huh.
You know, Callie Ray just learned how to, she was just potty trained within the last year, right?
Uh-huh.
What does she do when she goes to the bathroom?
She pulls the toilet seat down.
Yeah. After she's done, what does she do?
She closes it.
She closes it all the way, doesn't she?
Uh-huh.
Why can't you?
So you want me to close it, necessarily.
I prefer you not to have it up.
Okay.
So if you want to close it all the way, then that's fine.
Okay.
I won't fall into water.
Yeah, that's true. But then you'll sit onto the toilet because you don't look.
But I'll sit on it.
You'll sit on it.
I won't be falling into water. I'm not going for a swim.
That's fair. I just want to know. I just want to hear.
That's not funny.
It is kind of funny.
Everybody in the house will be.
I know.
If I ever fall into the toilet.
It'll be a state of emergency for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I got a question. Another question.
Okay.
You ready to ruffle some feathers? Because this conversation might get a little tense.
What is it about?
It's more about double standards.
Okay.
And it's going to be more about not necessarily gender roles, but it's going to be man versus woman, girl versus boy.
Okay.
All
right.
So first, I want to start off with talking about how we raise our children. So we have a boy, we have a girl.
Yeah.
And I feel like there are certain things that we do with Caden And there are certain things that we do with Kylie Rae.
Like what?
I guess it's more for me.
Okay.
I feel like I discipline them a little bit differently.
Oh, yeah. Kylie Rae has you wrapped.
Not, let's not say, okay, maybe she does, but let's not go that far with it. I feel like it comes from, for me, this is just personally with me. As her father, I don't want to come off too aggressive towards her, right? I don't want to have her to have a negative, what word am I looking for? A negative perception of men, okay? So I don't want to be too aggressive. I also, and I've talked to you about this before too, I don't want to be the one to spank Kylie Rae. And it's not necessarily saying that I don't want to discipline her, but I don't want to be the one.
You don't want to discipline her either.
Okay. That's not, I do.
Kylie Rae just came downstairs.
Okay.
After the 10th time of you telling her to go to bed.
Mm-hmm.
And she turned on that little charm. My daddy.
Okay.
I want to tiss.
Okay.
And you immediately turn off any type of annoyance that you had.
I do.
Hayden, on the other hand, will get it all.
Oh, I'm rough.
Uh-huh.
I am.
Yeah.
I'm pretty.
Yeah.
I let him have it.
Yeah. He's not getting to get away with a lot of that stuff that she does.
Yeah. Okay. That's.
But why is that?
That is a very great question. And now that I hear it out loud, it's probably not the best for me to be aggressive with one and not aggressive with the other one. Because he can have the same exact feeling as well, too,
when it comes to his father. I'm not asking you to be aggressive, but yeah. You got to have some type of stance.
I am tougher on him because I think it's more of like, it's that man thing. Like, I want to, like, build a man. You know what I mean?
And what does that mean? Yeah, you stepped your foot into it.
Let's talk about it. So what I mean by that is I want him to have some discipline.
Okay.
I want him to have discernment as well too.
Okay.
I want him to be on his best behavior. And the reason
okay,
I,
hold
I
on, think pause it's more of a, okay. Before you go into that.
Go ahead.
Discipline, discernment, uh-huh. And be on his best behavior.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Yeah.
Out of those three things, what are the which ones don't you want Kylie Rae to have?
I guess it's more the approach. I still want her to have it, but I think the approach is different with both of them.
Okay, but I asked you why are you that way with him? So you say you wanted him to build a man.
Mm-hmm. Because I
so
feel
why
like
are those manly qualities and not both?
It's a good point. I think it's more of the person that it's coming from. And I feel like for me, as his dad, leading by example is one way of doing it. And not, how do I put this? I guess it's I'm tougher on him because I feel like, I don't know, not necessarily that he has a bigger responsibility, but he doesn't get the same passes, or he doesn't get the same.
What passes do we get as women?
I mean, no, I'm not saying it like that. I think it's more of a, I don't even know the word I'm trying to say. I think it's more of a expectation. It's a higher expectation for men and for boys.
Explain that.
Boys are seen in certain situations, they're the ones who like go out, put themselves out there. They're the first one to raise their hand, different things like that.
What?
Follow me.
I'm going to be quiet
okay.
for a
no,
second.
You're good.
I'm going to let
you're
talk.
Good. I think it's because as me being a man, I want him to be at his fullest, go to his fullest potential.
Okay.
And I think it stems from societal expectations as well, too. Because I've seen it, I lived it, and perception as a man. Now, I cannot answer anything when it comes to perception as a woman. So I feel like some of those lessons are what you can teach Kylie Rae.
So you're saying you're trying to teach him based on experience.
Right. I think that's where I was going with it. It sounded horrible, but that's just in my eyes because I'm expecting the worst when it comes to him growing up. So I don't want him to have to go through those certain things.
Yeah.
I want him to have a different mindset with things. Like, of course, he's 5. I know that's hard on him right now. He's 5, but like I'm trying to build the groundwork for when he does get older and to know that certain situations he needs to be serious, certain situations he has to have a certain attitude and a way to talk to people as well too.
But I think those things are beneficial for Calloway too.
Of course, but I think it comes differently coming from me. And I think it's because girls, they have their father wrapped around their finger. As soon as we say something that they don't, well, not that they don't like, but it's something opposite of us calling them, then that's when they get upset. And I know Calloway does that same exact thing because she'll turn on. You just said it. She'll turn on and say, "Daddy, she did not come to you and do that." You know what I mean?
No.
So I think it's just how they perceive it differently. But I do feel like I can be a little bit lighter on Kane, though.
Yeah, I mean, you said you talk from experience, but we've talked before, and some of the way you grew up, not necessarily from anybody, but just your own personal feelings about certain things and how you shared your emotions and stuff like that. You weren't there until now. So, are you giving him the same thing that you used to get verbally?
Not fully. So, and I'm glad you said that because we have had those conversations. Like when Caitlin was growing up, I would say, "Hey, stop crying." And you go, I think you should say it like that. And I appreciated the way that you came to me and told me that, hey, you shouldn't say it that way. You should ask them why he's crying and not stop crying. Because that's one thing that we do as men, like, oh, you're not supposed to cry. And I heard that multiple times growing up. And there was a point where I didn't even think I could cry anymore because I just kept hearing it over and over.
Yeah.
Like for him now, and this is you can vouch for me on this. Like when he cries, I don't go, "Hey, stop all the crying." I don't do that. That's what I heard when I was growing up. I don't say that. I say, "Hey, calm down, breathe, let me know why you're crying." And I think that is a big thing for him because now he gets to express himself. Whereas when I was younger and I was crying, "Suck it up, stop crying." I can't even explain why I was crying. And
And that didn't come from just one person. That came
no.
from society in general.
There you go.
I mean, good thing that we're talking about double standards, gender roles, or whatever, because I mean, that is one of them where men cannot have emotions or else they're seen as soft. And that's a real tough thing to help people through who've been hearing that all their lives because, I mean, for you, like we talked about it before. You will ball up your emotions, or used to, like ball them up really tight, and nobody will be able to knock down that brick wall. And it's because you didn't think you could have any type of emotion.
No, I get that. And like you said before, it's society's expectations of men. They want them to be stern leaders, not saying anything, not show emotions, all business, get to the point. And I feel like that can be a detriment. For me, I feel like us as men, we only have two emotions. We have happy when we're feeling good, and then we have anger. Now, anger is because we don't know how to express those other emotions.
If
And
it's
that's,
not happy, everything goes into the other category.
there it is. I mean, perfect example. We were talking about something. You just asked me a simple question, and I went into straight defense mode. But if I would have listened to the actual question, he weren't coming for me at all. It was
Yeah.
just more of like, it's a defense mechanism. Like, no, I'm right. What you talking about? No, I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. And that's not a good thing because I wasn't able to kind of decipher or even listen to what you even asked me in the first place. It just came off as aggression. So, and that's where I'm coming with that. Like, we don't really know how to regulate those different
Well, it's
emotions.
almost kind of favored to a certain extent when it comes to men too, right? Because a man can be like that aggressive, like business-minded, attack, like just attack it head on and be seen as some leader. as a leader, as somebody who's just telling it how it is, as someone who is not afraid to stand up to someone. But if a woman does it, oh, what are we?
Right, I'm not gonna say
Right? You know what I mean? But
No, you, yeah.
it's a problem. And so we can't be leaders, or we can't be, people in roles that require a bunch of leadership, right? Without people thinking the worst of us.
Why do you think that is?
Well, I think there are a lot of misogynists out there who feel as who are threatened by women of intelligence. But I also think that to the same point that we're talking about with the double standards, that again, men who show emotion are soft.
Got you.
So equating that with a woman, we're supposed to be soft. We're not supposed to be able to regulate our emotions according to some people,
Got you.
right? Like my dad was joking around and he said, we don't want nobody to, just go hit the panic button, right?
Oh, yeah.
And he know that upset me because what makes you think that I can't make a sound decision, right? And so that again is a double standard.
No, I agree.
Y'all get hot-headed, punch holes in a wall. You know what I mean? Punch holes in a wall, throw things around, get into fist fights and bars. But you worried about me regulating my emotions just because I'm able to channel, how I'm feeling at the time? It's a double standard.
I mean, the crazy thing is that it's all in movies, it's everywhere. I mean, your one of your favorite movies, Love and Basketball. I think about this every time with that is when she was playing basketball. I think they might even show the scene, but everybody knows, like a man, shows aggression and they block a ball, they go, yeah, all in the face. And then she did it and she got a technical foul. And I'm thinking to myself, like for me, I'm like, there's no technical foul. But I was thinking of it more on the sports part. But for her, that's like, man, I can't even like show any type of emotion. Even with her father even said something about that. And her mom too. He's like, maybe you just need to cool it sometimes.
And act like a
And
lady.
act like a lady. Exactly. Whatever that means. But like you said, it's just society. Like that's the standard. That's how we should, I hate to say it like this, conduct ourselves. But I will say this though, and this is very powerful. Brother that I follow, his name is Jason Wilson, and just talking about men being able to regulate their emotions, he made a very good point. Tyrese, when this was like years ago, but he basically went on social media and was like showing his emotion. He was crying about not being able to see his daughter, different things like that. And first thing everybody's like, "Oh man, look at him on there crying!" Like, you know what I'm saying? Like that's not what we should have been doing. Jason Wilson was like, "We literally, basically." Criticize the man for being vulnerable and showing his emotion rather than lifting him up and saying, "Hey, it's gonna be okay." But that's how it is in, male society. It's like almost like, eat the wheat. Like you see him crying, like look at him over there. Even in sports, like any type of emotion, like you cry like when you lose or any kind of crying, like coaches be like, "I know you're not over there crying." And just hearing that, like you like, man, I can't even like show. You're not even with me on that. Like I thought we were a team. You can't even like pick me up when I'm down. So that's a huge thing within the male community for sure.
What about like parenting though, right? Like we were just talking about how you handle the kids differently, right? But just in general, the double standard of what the parenting role should look like, right? Because I don't know, I get aggravated a lot when people are like, "Oh my gosh, he had both of the kids at the grocery store." Do you know how many times I've had the kids at the grocery store by myself for my life? You know what I mean? Yet you get a pat on the back and a round of applause for taking the kids to the Dollar Tree when I took them into Target and had to navigate them and pull them out of the toy aisle. So it's just like, why is that? We're both parents, But for some reason, I'm expected to be able to have this patience and this extra effort given when having the same two children.
Right. I really think it's just basically old school ways. It's like the men went to work, the women stayed at home. But here's the thing. That ain't happening no more.
It's full time.
It's impossible to do that. Like, it costs.
Yeah.
we can't, one of us can't be at home. Like, you know what I mean? And I think that they still want all of those things, but then say like, oh, but you can work a little bit, but I still need you to do all the women duties or the mom duties.
Yeah, and what are those? What are the mom duties?
Exactly.
What are the women duties?
Here's my thing. This is my idea of us parenting. We talked about it before. It's not 50-50. It's not you got your jobs, I got my jobs. We going to get it done together. And we joked about you being Draymond and me being Steph. We'll talk about that in a second. But, like, I really don't think that just us, we don't have those things. We don't have, like, oh, you need to do this. This is your job or this is my job. It's like a collective. It's we do it together.
I mean, we do. But, like, there are people out there who, like, truly... And truthfully, I think some of those people are the ones that, you know, marriage may be a little bit difficult because they're depending. You have to find that right person who's willing to play that role.
True.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, we were willing to do things together.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're looking for someone specifically just to play a certain role.
Right.
You're going to find a needle in a haystack these days. Right.
True.
Because, again, women are now wanting to have more of a presence as we should.
Yes, for sure.
Right? Mm-hmm. And not letting people hold us back from it.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're wanting someone barefoot pregnant in the kitchen,
right,
you got to find that person.
Right. You ain't finding it, huh?
I mean, they may.
They may.
I'm just saying it's not like way back when that was the norm.
Right. Exactly.
We do things now.
Yeah.
We have things to do.
Right. Right.
So, I mean, I love to cook for you guys, and that's just how I show my love.
Right.
But I also know that on Mondays, I'm expecting you to have the dinner ready.
Yeah.
Because you're off.
Yeah, I get that. Yeah. And I.
So, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's just, that's the type of relationship we have, but there are some that don't.
Yeah. And I think it was more of because we've had that conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And being able to say, like, hey, not necessarily saying, like, this is what you need to do, but it's, like, more of expectations. I'm not going to carry the whole load. You're not going to carry the whole load. We're going to do this thing together. Like I said, it was because we had that conversation. But some people do not have that conversation. And it's just assumed.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, it's assumed because that's probably what their parents did, their grandparents did. And you think that that's how it's supposed to go. And this doesn't work that way. And one thing I don't like, and this is, I've been, you know, on this for a while. Like, when somebody says, like, oh, look at the dad taking care of the kids. Or look at him babysitting the kids.
Oh,
no,
my
there's
gosh.
No such thing as babysitting, dude. You're the dad. Like, you're the parent.
You're fathering.
Right. Exactly. That is your duty.
I don't know how many times I've been out. You know, maybe with a friend or maybe just by myself. And they're like, oh, with the kids.
Yeah.
With their daddy.
Right. Exactly.
Exactly. Oh, he got the kid. Yes.
Yeah, I do.
I go on girls trips. Who are the kids with? Their father.
Yeah. I may be here fighting for my life, but I still
but
get it
I would
done.
Be doing the same thing, fighting for my life.
Right.
And so it's just the fact that, like, okay, yeah, I'm gone for 2 or 3 days.
Yeah.
Yes, they're with their dad.
Yeah.
He's very capable. He's their father.
Mm-hmm. But I will say, though, I had to get you out of that mom guilt, though, as well, too.
I mean, that's a thing that I continue to deal with. But, I mean, it's not anything that anyone's put on me.
Right.
That's just a whole separate subject on its own.
Right. All right. Also, too, this is something that someone made a good point about taking the kids to doctor's appointments.
Yeah.
I feel like, I think it's like equal between the two. I think it really is whoever is available. It's not like, but here's the other thing too. As both parents, as each one, you should know what's going on with your kids. Like, to be able to take them to the doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And if they ask a question like, hey, what was going on here? Not me. I'm talking for me. I shouldn't have to go on my phone and go, Babe, when was the last time he had a fever? When was the last time she had a fever? I should have asked those. I should ask those questions as well too, because I should be concerned about the child, especially when they're sick.
Yeah.
So being able to communicate that as well too, I may not be at the house, but I still want to know. You know, even when the kids are sick, I'm texting you like, "How they doing? What's going on?" I think it may be a little bit different for me because I am a chiropractor, but still at the same time, I want to know as well.
Well, I don't think it's coming from your job. I think it's coming from you being a caring parent.
Gotcha.
And being an involved parent. And I think that's, you know, for us is the best thing, because this whole double standard stuff ain't working for me. So,
right.
I got one that just popped in my head though.
Okay.
And it's completely changing gears, but still in the double standard topic.
We're good.
Physical appearance.
Okay.
Right?
Uh-huh.
If a woman goes out, you're expected to dress up. You're expected to have on some heels, which I do not wear anymore. I mean, I don't.
Yeah.
They're bad for my back, right, chiropractor?
They are definitely bad for you. And your feet and your hips. Go ahead.
Exactly. Right? And you're not 7 foot tall, so.
Whoa.
What?
Okay. I'm gonna let that slide.
No, seriously though. Uh-huh. Like, we're expected to dress up, have all this makeup on and things like that in society's eyes, right? But a man can just put on a t-shirt, some jeans or khakis or something and call it a day.
Yeah.
Right?
They even came up for a name with it. Minimalist?
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying, right? Yeah. That's crazy.
Or, you know, women and like all the Instagram models and stuff that are out there.
Yeah.
That's what people are looking for. That's what people are attracted to. But then you can have dad bods. What?
Came up with a name for it. Yeah.
What? Uh-huh. You know what I mean? Like, how is that even
okay?
Appropriate.
Right.
Like, how does that make sense?
Yeah. So once again, society, I think it really stemmed from the whole like supermodel, like open up the magazine, this is who you should look like, and this is who you should try to aspire to be. And let's be realistic, that don't happen all the time. Mm-hmm. And even for men, that don't happen for us all the time as well too. But here's the thing, I'm gonna say this very
say it.
Look, I don't care. And you know that I do not care. Like, that is not one of my things. It's not like top of my priority list of how you look when you go out. Like, that just, for one, I'm not you. I can't tell you, like, oh, babe, you probably should put something on. Like,
I mean, okay, so let me say this.
Okay.
I fully understand that you are my husband.
Mm-hmm.
And when we are with each other, we are representations of each other, whether we're together or not.
Okay.
And so I do want to look nice. I do want us to look presentable.
Mm-hmm.
But the whole requirement of certain things is crazy to me. Right?
Yeah.
And so, like I've said to you before, like if we're going out on a date or something, I'm not putting on makeup. I don't feel like doing that right now.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay. you know?
Right.
But for a lot of people, that's not okay.
Yeah. The problem is that you even think that that's a thought that you have to do that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You didn't have to say it out loud. Like, I don't. So I hope, I mean, I know you know, but you know I don't care. For you to have to feel like you have to say that is the real problem. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But I mean, I don't think I necessarily say it out of like trying to tell you. I'm just probably talking in the moment at the time, because you know me and I don't really care.
Gotcha.
But I do think that some people do. Like, I do think some people have a mindset of like, you ain't going out with me looking like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, looking like what? Like myself?
Like, yeah, right.
You know what I mean? But just the whole double standard of like what I should look like versus what you can go out and be accepted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I get that for sure.
Somebody, I mean, I think we were looking at something on Facebook and she was like, y'all coming into the club with these kitten heels on. Okay.
It's not
the same thing that you see all the time, but I might come in there with some flats.
Uh-huh.
If I'm going to hang out. You know what I mean? Like, I might come in there with some sneakers.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what?
I get that for sure. Can we go back to what you were talking about earlier about, we kind of touched on it, but we were talking about like wife duty and husband duties. I think one of the biggest ones, and I kind of touched on it as well too, but like about men being the quote unquote provider. I think because of how old ways were, provider meant financially. And for me, I feel like there's more to that. I feel like, yes, we should contribute financially. We also should contribute to safety. We should also contribute to creating a great atmosphere for the household. But I feel like we just stop right at financial. Like, we just like, you should bring home the bacon. And that's the only thing you really should do.
Yeah.
And the thing is, you can't lead a household without those other things as well, too. If you're just dumping money into a house and you're not spending that time with your family, you're not spending time with your wife, you're basically
a direct deposit.
Direct deposit, exactly. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I mean, you actually had this issue or worry, I guess I should say, when you were in school.
Right.
Because, I mean, at the time, we didn't have children because Kaden wasn't born until, like, you were wrapping up school.
Right.
So we didn't have children, and it was just you and I. You and me. You and me. Just me.
I think it's interchangeable in that one, but... If you would have finished the, you would have finished the sentence. You would have changed it. Yeah.
So, it was just us, right?
Yeah.
And so I was working at the time, and you weren't.
Yes.
Right. And it, you were in full time school. Like you would leave the house at 7 in the morning and get back around 6 sometimes.
Right.
Right. Because you were in full school mode.
Mm-hmm.
But you struggled a lot. With me being the only one bringing financial means into the house.
Correct.
Why?
When I wasn't working, I felt, and you're probably about to say this is probably the dumbest thing you ever said, but I really felt like a bum. Like, for me, that's just what I've always known. I've always worked, for one. I've been working since I was 14. That's all I know, is if you want something, you go out there and get it. And me as a man, I was like, hey, as her husband, this is my responsibility to make sure that we're okay. And it was me getting in my own way as well, too. You know, you said it was okay, but I'm thinking to myself like, oh, man, she's just really saying that to make me feel better. I got to figure out something. And I struggled through that. I struggled the entire time I was in school, almost to the point that I think I came home one day and I said, hey, babe, my load is going to be lighter once I get clinic. I can start doing the job. And you said, absolutely not.
Right.
Because you understood what we were working towards. I was looking in now.
Yeah, it wasn't like you were just sitting on the couch playing the video game.
Yeah.
Right. You were in school, full-time school, in class. That's a full-time job.
Right. But still, to me, I felt like I wasn't contributing. And
but you were, because you were contributing to the point where you are today.
Right.
So if I wasn't willing to have that sacrifice or take that sacrifice, you know, to work, we wouldn't be where we are today.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I needed you to understand that. Because, right. again, the whole stereotypical, or that you're, because you're not bringing money in, you're a bum, or... not, you know, you're living off of your wife or whatever that looks like, was not true. That was not what I saw.
Right.
And I didn't really care what anybody else thought about it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Because I knew why we were doing what we were doing.
Right.
And so for me to sacrifice brand new pair of shoes or, you know, a shopping trip at Target was nothing.
Right.
Because I knew what we were setting up.
Yeah.
And now we're good. You know what I mean? Like we both work full time. We have great jobs. And I think if I would have allowed you to cave into whatever you thought was the norm, right? What you should have been doing.
Right.
I feel like that could have also altered where we are now, because I know how much effort you put into going to school.
Mm-hmm.
I know how much it took to pass all those classes the first time.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
Because there are people who didn't.
Yeah.
And then boards and all of that, right? Like, I knew how much effort that took.
Mm-hmm.
So why would I let you get a job just because to build your ego?
Right.
When it would be ego crushing for you to fail a class and have to start all over.
Right. Yeah, no, I get that. And once again, that was me in my own head. Like hearing, I mean, of course I heard you. I knew what you were saying, but still, it was just something that was just telling me, like, I mean, you gotta do something. Like,
Yeah, you
you know
came
what I
home
mean?
telling some I can go and be a waiter or bartender at night. And then what? And then what?
Right.
Because then I wouldn't see you.
Yeah,
So you're already
that's
gone
true.
7 to 6. I'm at work, and
Yeah.
then come home and you going to work a late night job.
Yeah.
Then what? How would that affect us too? You know what I mean? So it's just those double standards and that stereotypical type image affects more than what people even think it is. You know what I mean?
Right. And I think too, the comparison. Like I saw, you know, we talked about it before I even got there. I was like, hey, even when we went to orientation, it was like, hey, normally people don't really get jobs. This is a full-time program. But then I get there and I'm talking to people, I'm like, and they're like, oh, you know, I got a job. I'll go in there afterwards or whatever like that. And I do this and I work late night at the bar. And I'm thinking to myself, I was like, well, they're doing it. Why? Should I be doing that as well too? To the point that I even was like, you know what? I'm gonna do her better. I'm gonna do one better. I'm gonna do work study. And he was like, for what? Like, and it wasn't even paying me much, but in my mind, I thought to myself, like, okay, yeah, I'm bringing in some kind of money. I still, even without even talking to you, I was like, babe, I came. I was like, babe, I got work study. He was like, for what? Like, we don't need work study. You don't have to do that. But still, me getting my way, I was like, I got to do something. So, you know, you
You
know.
just didn't want to look like less of a man, so,
Right,
using
right.
quotations right there.
Yeah, very loose quotations for sure. Because I mean, the thing is, me knowing this now, looking at it now, of course, I'm out of the situation now, but now I'm looking at it and I'm like, I was still handling my business. Like, I was still doing what I needed to be doing, pursuing to something. You know what I mean? Like, there's steps to it. And I think also, I needed to one, trust the process. And trust the process with us as well too, and not go out and go, well, I can put a little bit of my time here, a little bit of my time there, and still be able to, you know, do everything. And that's bringing on unwanted stress on myself. And I feel like for men, we do that a lot as well too with everything. Like we feel like we can take on so much, and do all these things, and then it comes back to not being able to express our emotions, and we show up as.
Not feeling like you can have somebody to lean on.
Exactly. And then it comes off as aggression. It comes off as defensive. Like, what do you mean? I'm doing everything I can. And I've had that conversation with you before as well too. I was like, I'm doing my best. I'm doing whatever I need to do. And you're like, but you know, it's not, you may be thinking that you're doing all these things, but it's not effective. You know what I mean? You know, we just said that, like, I use that, like those quotations, like loosely. I do have a problem with that statement, like less than a man. Like who set these standards of what a man really should be in the first place?
Or what a woman should not be.
That exactly. And I feel like, is it too far gone that we can't change what that looks like? Like, and if you do go against the norm, like why are we being criticized for trying to do something different? You know what I
I
mean?
mean, I think we just can't care. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, is society too far gone to fix it? Yeah. Yes, pretty much.
Yeah.
Because it's just so deeply rooted that even if half of the people started changing the way they thought, there's going to be other ones who raise little ones who think the way they do, just like when you talk about racism and stuff like that, right?
Right.
So, I mean, you're never going to wipe that away.
Right.
But I think it's important that, like, you and I have the conversations like we have
Yes.
to negate all that, right? Like, to take all that away and to teach our children how we want them to think about the opposite sex or about themselves.
Right.
So, I mean, can we get rid of it all the way across the board? No. But we can teach our tiny humans
Right.
how we want them to act and, behave or whatnot.
Yeah.
And we can treat each other the way that we feel like it's appropriate.
For sure. And going back to what we said at the beginning of how, you know, I don't want to, I hate to say like treat them differently, but I feel like for me, Now that we've discussed that, I feel like I'm scared that if I do teach him a certain way, that he won't, I don't even want to say fit in with society, but like he won't be able to navigate it the correct way. And like you said, we should have those conversations that go, hey, this is how it is, but you don't have to completely conform to that. You
Yeah,
can
I
be a
mean,
free thinker.
I think you have to be realistic
Yeah.
and understand, like, okay, yeah, he's about to go into the public school system and he's going to see other things and learn other things, and
Right.
Calibre is going to follow behind that, right? And we have to realize that they're going to see things that we don't teach them.
Right.
And
Right.
so acknowledging that piece of, hey, you might hear some of your friends say this. So we want them to be socially aware and have that discernment that you were talking about earlier, right? So I think it's just a matter of teaching them how we want them to behave as they grow, and also be willing to have the conversations to help them challenge it too,
Right,
right?
right.
Because just because I'm a girl doesn't mean I can't, right?
Exactly.
Just because I'm a boy doesn't mean that I can't have emotions. And so we have to teach them how to challenge that, to be able to take away all these double standards and stereotypical things.
Right.
So we raise those tiny little humans to be aware adults.
Right. I love that. Love that. All right. Talk to y'all later. What's up, family? Did you enjoy the episode? Well, great. Show some love. Follow us on the Married to Millennials podcast YouTube channel. Follow us on every major platform for podcasts. And if you really want to tap in, follow us on Instagram and TikTok at M2M Podcast. Let's go.